Hello, my name is Chip Lang, and you're listening to Total EM. We have a podcast that is specific for the summertime, at least for most people, because most of the time in summer, people like to go on vacations. Given COVID-19 has thrown a huge wrench in this for many people, but some are still going to the beaches for vacation. And while you're at the beach, you may encounter one common injury, and that's jellyfish stings. So that's what we're going to talk about today, our jellyfish stings. We're going to take this way off the topics that we've been going through before, but I think it's really helpful to know because most jellyfish stings, especially for the ones traveling, this is going to be first aid level type stuff. Sometimes there may be some pre-hospital management that we keep in mind. Very rarely will these people need to go to an emergency department, but we are going to talk about how this is a full spectrum disease. And so sometimes people may require anti-venom and they may require management for more significant issues that come up, such as anaphylaxis. Let's talk first about what happens with jellyfish stings. Most of the time on tentacles, there are what are called nematocysts, and they are used by jellyfish to attack prey or for self-defense. They are spring-loaded and deliver the venom that jellyfish carry. Physical contact or an osmotic gradient causes the nematocyst to discharge and release the contained venom. This leads to the well-known stinging pain that people will experience when they get stung by a jellyfish. However, in some cases, it can cause paralysis, cardiovascular collapse, and anaphylaxis. There is an abundance of information on how to treat these injuries, and there's a thorough review through a paper published in Marine Drugs Journal, that is a thing, February 2013. And just keep in mind that the treatment will vary by species. Recommendations will also vary by different organizations, usually to reflect those local species. So while someone may be treated one way in one place of the world, you may notice an entirely different treatment in another place of the world. And what I really like about the paper that I just mentioned, and we have the supplementary information in the show notes, is that it's a quick reference guide as far as like a description of the species, its size, where it's located in the world, local and systemic symptoms, if it can be deadly, and what kind of treatment options exist, as well as the research behind them, if they help, if they hurt, or if they just don't seem to be doing anything at all. You don't have to review everything, though, in that supplementary information. What I have done is I've gone through and did a quick rundown of the key points of management and some things that are very common across the spectrum. Keep in mind, there may still be some caveats that exist, but overall, these seem to be very consistent. The first thing you do, which is extremely consistent, is to get that person out of the water and to keep yourself safe. Some nematocysts can still be present that have not been discharged. To help with this, management to deactivate the unfired nematocyst is important. Saltwater rinsing is overall quite effective. A slurry created by baking soda is in many cases also effective at stabilizing the nematocyst. You also want to remove tentacles with usually like a blunt object, like a stick or sandcastle shovels, anything that's blunt that is easy to use, and or thick gloves. It is very important to remember that dead jellyfish are not safe as their tentacles can still cause stinging injuries. And avoiding direct contact is important. I've actually seen about every year I go down to the beach, someone try and pick up a jellyfish that they think is dead or is dead, and they still get stung because they don't think it'll hurt them anymore. And that is simply not true. For pain control, and if available, the use of hot water packs, topical lidocaine, opioids, and exorbitant or vitamin C can all be helpful. Hot water packs will help denature the toxin, generally at temperatures greater than 43 degrees Celsius, and maintaining it for 20 minutes can provide significant pain relief. However, avoid alcohol, urine, and sand, as these are not good options and can actually increase venom discharge and pain. Part of the issue with urine, which is common, it's like this common folklore that exists of just peeing on people. And I don't know what the fascination is of urinating on other people, thinking it's going to help. But the issue with it is its close resemblance to fresh water, which causes release of venom by altering the salt concentrations. Most other treatments that you may think of or may have heard of tends to be a mixed bag. It may work in some species, but not in others. While most patients will not need to go to an emergency department unless they are having a severe reaction, antivenom is available for box jellyfish and some other species. Most of the treatment would be the same in an emergency department as it would be in the pre-hospital setting. Wound care, including foreign body removal, wound irrigation, and closure of the wound if needed, are all potential components. Also, keep in mind, as always, updating a patient's tetanus immunization can be helpful, and you should consider antibiotic coverage for Vibrio species and grossly contaminated wounds. That's it. I mean, this is really meant to be a very quick review of what we can talk about with this. I would highly recommend going into the supplementary information some more if you are someone who's been on vacation or is going to vacation, or you're listening to this a year or so later. Just remember, we do have this available for you. It is meant to be a quick review, and I hope this is helpful. But until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.